Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're discussing credit scores rising, easy small dollar loans, and shakeups in streaming.
That's right, Joel. We are going to get to those stories plus a bunch more on our Friday Flight episode. That's where we talk about some of the different headlines, man, that we came across this week. And we're going to talk about how they affect and how they pertain to our money, how they pertain to our personal finances. But I know you wanted to talk about leaf blowers a little bit. You kind of had like this old man rant lined up for for folks to hear.
All right. So I'm wondering, are people just blowing leaves more? One, it's fall, right? So you're just going to have more leaf blowers. But I feel like the pandemic with the work from home stuff, people are like blowing leaves morning, afternoon, or night. Like it used to be like reserved for the weekend. And now it's like leaf blowers all the time, especially as work from home podcasters, man. That's not cool. It makes it hard sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, two things. So first of all, you said that it's happening at all hours of the day. And so what that tells me is that more and more people are hiring services to do it, because services, you know, like lawn service companies, they're not just doing it on the weekend. They're doing it all throughout the week, because that's
true.
That's their job, right?
But I'm seeing my neighbors out there physically.
But then like, they're doing it themselves. Yeah. It tells me that they don't have enough work.
My neighbor across the street, literally during lunch, and I'm sure, you know, he's working a full 8-hour day, but literally I go home for lunch and I see him out in the front yard, maybe instead of eating a sandwich or something, he was aerating his front yard.
I was like, get out there, do some yard work.
I get it, dude. I think that's just like partly the flexibility of working from home. People are like, all right, I'm gonna get this task done, I'm gonna get this chore done. We're kind of getting used to like a different way of working, and that involves incorporating chores into that, you know, 9 to 5.
Yeah, but I'm with you though. I do miss the fact, you know, like with it all being like on the weekend. However, that being said, I really get annoyed when I'm at home hanging out, you know, it's in the afternoon, something like that. We're hanging out on the porch, and the blowers are constant, because somebody will, you know, work in the yard and blow their leaves, and then the next neighbor will, and then somebody else will. And so you just have like hours of just like,
it's like the domino effect of leaf blowers.
So I kind of wish that there was like a city ordinance or something where it's like, all right, everybody, you know, if it's the weekend on Saturday, you can blow, you know, your leaves between 10 and 12 in the morning or something like that. And like everybody get it out of your system. And that way we can all just enjoy the rest of our afternoon without just the smell of 2-stroke engine fumes, you know, choking us out, as well as the noise.
Yeah.
They're so stinking loud.
To me, it's less the smell. It is that noise. And, you know, I'm guilty of blowing my leaves every once in a while, but yeah.
I mean, I am too. That's the thing. Like, I mean, I hate it on one hand, but on the other hand, I'm also guilty. You know, it's sort of like, it makes me think of when people complain about traffic. They're like, ugh, I hate being stuck in traffic. Like, what's going on here? And there's the saying too, where it's like, hey, you're not stuck in traffic. You are traffic. Like, you are part of the problem. And so I think that's something to maybe remind ourselves of when we do get a little annoyed by it, that, you know, if we're a part of the problem, you know, at least we can be, you know, maybe a little more considerate of our neighbors and make sure that we're not doing it, you know, at random hours of the evening, maybe as folks are kind of winding down. Kind of sucks to have some of those backpack blowers blasting, you know, in your backyard or in somebody else's backyard when you're kind of sitting down for dinner. So.
All right. I mean, all I'm asking for is the kids off my lawn and the leaf blowers off, okay?
That's all you want.
I'm an old man before my time, dude. And of course, I'm kidding. Kids are welcome on my lawn anytime. All right, let's get to the Friday Flight, Matt. The stories that we found interesting this week that really do affect our personal finances. Let's start off with some good news today. There's been increased biking. Obviously, that's been a huge story in the pandemic. We've talked about before. Bike sales are way up, and a lot of bike retailers just can't keep up with the demand. But specifically, there's been an increase in cities that aren't traditionally known for biking. And that's really cool to see. Fitness app Strava has new data that shows that there have been surges in some sprawling cities like Houston, where they've seen an increase of 138%, right?
And, such an increase.
And Houston is one of those crazy sprawling cities, right, where it's hard to get around on a bike. But LA is another one. They've had an increase of 93% in bike ridership from just a year ago. Obviously, you and I, we're big fans. We love this. It's better for our health, better for the environment. People are spending less on transportation costs and just fewer cars on the road. It's just a win-win-win when people bike more. And I love seeing it in cities where, you know, it's more of a challenge. People are rising up to that challenge, or they're going to give it a go anyway.
Yeah, and speaking of LA, I know you can kind of get sucked into the World Series a little bit. LA, the Dodgers clinched it earlier this week. Do you have any thoughts on that?
So I watched very little of it, but I had watched, you know, I'm a Braves fan, so I watched the Dodgers-Braves series. And that was a bummer to see my Braves go out. But I will say I turned it on in like the fourth inning of game six. I turned it on just the right time. But I think the Rays manager pulled the pitcher too early, man, the starting pitcher. He should have left him in there a few extra innings. I think the Rays would have won game six. It might have been a little more of an interesting series. But congrats to the Dodgers and Dodger fans.
And congrats to LA for driving less and biking more. Right?
By the way, one other random thing to share. I was talking to my buddy who's from Tampa Bay. He's a big Rays fan. And he told me that the entire payroll of the Tampa Bay Rays is less than literally one player, Mookie Betts, for the Dodgers. So it's just interesting to see. I'm always rooting for the underdog in that, the team that's like playing the money ball game. You know, as a personal finance nerd, I'm like, how little can you spend and how great can you make this team? And Tampa Bay had a great run.
Yeah, totally. I saw that as well. I think Tampa Bay's payroll was $28 million total, and the Dodgers' total was $108 million. But back to biking real quick. You know, with more people biking, I think, you know, we need to make sure that we're protecting these new modes of transportation. You know, for most folks, a good U-lock from a company like Kryptonite is what you need. And you can go fancier, but it's not needed, you know? And the reason for this, here, I'll share my philosophy on bike locks, which is that any bike lock, I think, will keep your bike from becoming the low-hanging fruit. You know, like if someone's walking by, they're thinking about maybe stealing a bike, they're likely going to look for one that's not locked up at all, right? When you keep that in mind, I think a basic $30 lock is plenty for most folks. And it also, too, it kind of depends on what you're going to do with your bike. You know, if you're planning to keep it locked up, like outside a coffee shop while you go in to grab a coffee, it's probably going to be fine with any basic lock. But even if you have like the nicest, fanciest, most heavy duty lock, I don't think any bike is safe if you leave it somewhere public overnight. You know, like if somebody wants your bike, they're going to show up with the right tools and they're going to grind that thing off.
Or at least get the parts they want from your bike.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Which probably is even more infuriating, right? Having to kind of replace all those parts. But yeah, I mean, those are my thoughts at least, that if you have a nice solid U-lock, like that's going to get you really far. At least have that in particular if you're going to be locking it up during the day. But I wouldn't leave my bike personally anywhere overnight where I wasn't able to keep it, you know, more secure, more locked up in my basement.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's one kid just down the street, Matt. He's had two bikes stolen during this pandemic. Feel so bad for him and for his dad who's got to, you know, buy another bike in the middle of a pandemic when it's hard to find one too. So yeah, keep your bike locked up and have a good lock. That's like a good investment if you're going to have a nice bike, is a solid U-lock for sure. All right, not a related transportation note. Traffic fatalities spiked during the pandemic, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Now this,
the old NHTSA,
the NHTSA, I believe, as people say, right? This is kind of crazy because you probably would have expected the opposite, right? You would think,
true,
rationally, fewer people on the roads and there's going to be fewer wrecks, fewer fatalities. But the evidence actually suggests that when we perceive less risk, we tend to engage in riskier behaviors. So when there are fewer folks on the road, they took bigger risks and did dumber things like not wearing seatbelts, like speeding more and driving impaired. So yeah, that's a sobering statistic to read, but it's just another call for us all to be safe on the roads.
Yeah, and you know, so how does this relate to our money? You know, well, like I think the exact same behavior can be seen when it comes to our personal finances. I think this can serve as a warning for individuals who might be in a good solid financial position right now, that now is the time to be more careful with your money. You know, when we have plenty, when we have more than we need, then I think those are instances where we might get a little sloppy with our money and with how we spend and how we invest. So if you've maybe gotten, say, a promotion recently, maybe you've gotten a big bonus, make sure that you're taking careful precautions, right? Maybe that you try to invest half of that increase. Don't be careless with your money. I think it can be easy to fall into the trap if you are a high wage earner, where you're thinking, you know, I can pretty much out earn like any, you know, dumb behavior that I might exhibit, any mistake that I might make. But man, as we've seen, like nobody's job is super secure. And when you have a high standard of living, you've got a lot of expenses. You might be earning a lot of money, but you could still be living paycheck to paycheck. So regardless if you're a high wage earner, make sure that you are doing smart things with your money consistently.
And if you're wondering what those things are, well, we have 272 other episodes that you can dig into because, a lot of advice for sure. And I agree, Matt. I kind of like how you tied in those statistics of, you know, roadway fatalities with how we handle our money.
Well, it's just interesting, I think, how it is that we do think about risk. I've seen something similar when it comes to kids that wear like knee pads, like elbow pads and knee pads and helmets when they go bike riding. When we feel that we're protected more, we tend to push the envelope a little bit instead of, you know, being a little more careful like we would from the beginning. Obviously, this isn't an argument to say you don't need to wear a helmet. I truly think that that's something that's really important to do. But it is just interesting how the risk that we perceive, how that shifts depending on the different things that we surround ourselves with, whether that be fewer drivers on the road. So, you know, we think that there's less of, you know, a priority to keep our eyes on the road, or even money. You know, when we're earning a ton of money like that, like, honestly, it can be easy to get cocky. And so that's what we're trying to avoid here.
Yeah, no, good point. All right. On the note of cockiness, there was a streaming service, Quibi. Man, do you remember when they launched? It, like Super Bowl ads, multiple expensive.
This is going to change your life.
And like at first, I was like, I don't even know what this thing is. The ads were actually a little, it was hard to understand what the service was even about. But now Quibi, it's gone. That service is dead. They launched with such gusto, but it was really just a short-lived experiment. And analysts have given a bunch of reasons for why people weren't digging Quibi as a streaming service. Like, for instance, Quibi was mobile only, and then it launches during a pandemic when people are watching content on their TVs because they're home more.
Yeah.
Right?
Poor timing.
So, yeah, when it comes down to it, though, people just didn't care about the micro-programming that they were offering, and there's just such a proliferation of content providers at this point in time. The competition is stiff. Quibi just didn't stand out for folks.
Yeah, and you know, while Quibi was kind of silly, you know, from the beginning, there have been other stories about all the different streaming services, how they're lacking new content to entice customers to stick around on their services, right? The pandemic obviously made it difficult to film movies and TV shows. So the calendar for releasing new stuff, new content, had to shift. And so, you know, consider what you are watching and whether or not you can cut a streaming service out of your life entirely. These recurring bills add up in our lives. And, you know, even if it's just $13 a month for Netflix or $7 a month for Disney Plus, don't discount this regular trickle of expenses that regularly shows up every single month on our bank statements.
Yeah, it's easy to laugh at the smaller bills and be like, it's not a big deal, I'll keep it around. But yeah, we think it's important to look at every single one and then make an informed choice and cut those things out of your life that you're not using anymore. And another important note in streaming news, by the way, this week, Matt, T-Mobile just launched its own streaming service starting at $10 a month. This service is called T-Vision. But it looks like T-Vision is actually only available for T-Mobile and Sprint customers currently. Those companies are actually merging right now.
Well, and last week we talked about the high interest savings account that T-Mobile is offering.
That's
They're
right.
Like trying to take over the world, man.
Like trying to get into every single nook and cranny of our lives, right?
Seriously.
Well, streaming sports are always the most expensive part of streaming TV options. If you want sports via T-Mobile's new option, you're going to have to pay $40 or more a month, depending on the specific channels you want. We'll link to the T-Mobile site if you're a customer and you're interested in learning more. But it looks like next year, T-Vision is going to expand to non-customers. You know, we talked a lot about streaming options back in episode 107, Matt, but things have actually changed a whole lot even since then. There have been mostly lots of price increases and even more interesting competitors in the space. So yeah, it looks like T-Vision is just like another one that you can choose from. But again, it's important to choose wisely and choose just a couple to keep in your life to keep the budget down when it comes to your streaming costs.
Yeah, I mean, and regardless of what service you end up going with, I think it's worth mentioning too to be more strategic in which service you're going with, depending on what content you're trying to consume, right? Today, Friday, Mandalorian Season 2 actually gets released on Disney Plus, and I'm totally going to be there, man. Like, you better believe it. I'm going to get my Baby Yoda fix. But if that's you, you know, if you're interested in that and you don't currently have Disney Plus, well, sign up, but then binge it. You know, like, there's ways for us to only pay that $7 a month one time and then cancel that service, right? And so I think, you know, trying to find ways to be more fluid, but still having the ability to have access to the content you want. I think that's the best way that we would encourage for folks to have their cake and eat it too.
That's exactly what Emily and I did when Chernobyl came out on HBO. It was like four episodes. We were like, all right, we could
so
totally
random.
Do this in a week.
Well, I mean, yeah, but who is going to like sign up for a new service just for Chernobyl?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm like, I don't want HBO $15 a month or whatever it is, like in perpetuity, but I really want to watch Chernobyl.
You guys were into it.
It was worth it. It was so good. It was so good. But all right, Matt, we got more to get to, including that story about credit scores and easy small dollar loans. We'll hit those stories up after this break.
All right, Joel, we're back. And before we dive into more of the meaty stories we have for folks today, a couple weeks ago, the new electric Hummer was released. Did you click through?
I'm going to buy three. three of them.
I'm not surprised. You're obsessed with electric vehicles, and so I'm sure you're all about that.
No way, man. These things, it starts at $113,000.
So stupid.
I ain't got that kind of cash.
Yeah, I think the 16-year-old me would have been super excited to see that. I would have been like, oh, this is so cool. But dude, 37-year-old sees, and it just bums me out, you know? Like, I just, it feels so silly. Like, what a waste of resources, unless that's just 100% your thing, you know? Like, it just costs so much money, and it literally makes my stomach hurt to kind of think about individuals who might see that and think, oh, I can afford that. You know, like kind of going back to like the, when we're talking about perceived risk, you know, in the first segment, but somebody who might be earning a lot of money could, you know, might be thinking, oh, that's something I can afford. I can afford that payment. And they're not really thinking long-term. They're not thinking about that they don't really have a retirement, you know, account that's fully funded or set aside. They're just looking at the payments and they're just picturing themselves riding down the street noiselessly, you know, in their car that doesn't make any noise.
No,
that you're so obsessed with
climbing boulders in that thing. like
that's the thing. You don't buy a vehicle that costs that much money to go like actually off-roading, you know,
right.
Like
except
no
for
way.
The commercials, they're like, oh look, it can do this, and like but in reality most people don't use it for that. They're just parking it in their driveway and people are like, oh cool, new Hummer. Yeah, I'm not getting an electric Hummer, even though I like electric cars, man. This one's just yeah, a little too far out there for me.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive. And speaking of crazy numbers, man, let's talk about some misleading economic numbers. We just experienced the best GDP, the best gross domestic product report of all time.
Woohoo! Yeah, let's celebrate.
Yeah, that's right. But those numbers, they kind of need to be taken with a grain of salt. The pandemic-induced intensely rough numbers from Q2 are making the numbers from Q3 look pretty rosy. But the economy, man, it's still in a tough spot. Even though we are seeing some signs of progress, right? Just know that you're going to be seeing a lot of headlines about these just released numbers in the days to come, in the weeks to come. But there's still a lot of pain out there, you know, with current unemployment rate of, you know, currently I think at 8.4%. And, you know, that doesn't even take into account people who have stopped looking for work, you know, given the current environment. Sorry to be a Debbie Downer here, but it's worth mentioning, you know, these numbers aren't quite as great as they claim to be. It's sort of like if I'm like out watering the garden out in the front yard with my hose and I pinch the hose off for 3 seconds, you know, like 3 months for Q2, and no water comes out. Well, it's like, oh no, where's all the water? But then I let go of it, and then for the next 3 seconds, it's just like, poof, you know, it's like spraying like crazy, and then it goes back to normal. It's just kind of making up for some of that lost ground in Q2. It doesn't mean that like everything's fine.
Yeah, and you can make numbers do almost anything or say almost anything, represent any sort of narrative that you want to be true. And I'm sure we'll see headlines using these numbers in a ton of different ways to try to support a narrative.
Right.
And it's not that things aren't getting better. They are. But things are still also hard for a lot of people right now in our country. So it's important to kind of know that both those things are true at the same time. But Matt, let's follow that up with some good news, all right?
That's kind of some bummer Hummer news. You know? let's follow that up with some good stuff.
Let's do it. So credit scores have been going up in the pandemic. That was a recent article I saw in the Wall Street Journal. The average credit score in America hit a record in July. This allowed a whole lot of folks to refinance at much better rates, cutting their monthly mortgage payments, being able to lower their monthly bills. It was great timing for so many people. And then a huge part of this was also the priority that debt paydown took for so many Americans as they received stimulus payments and unemployment compensation. Less debt means a lower utilization ratio, and that leads to a better credit score. So, yeah.
Allowing even better rates if you wanted to refi again.
Right, yeah. I mean, obviously, the cost of refinancing, you probably don't want to do that like every month, right?
But it really is a virtuous cycle, though. You know, we're not saying that like one necessarily causes the other, because then the other kind of causes, you know, the one. And so it's a self sort of fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, and it's just great to see people, you know, having better credit scores, because it does impact so much of your financial life. We've talked about that a bunch. So yeah, just want to celebrate that fact. Good to see.
Yeah, and a lot of listeners out there, you've likely seen your score go up, you know, with the masses, right? It's important to stay on top of your score. And so we would recommend for folks to make a priority to take a look at your credit score at least quarterly. But right now, all three of the major agencies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, have all continued to keep your full credit report free to access weekly. Every single week, you can have access to your full report for free. And at this point, they're going to continue that until May of 2021. But there's a chance they'll even extend it beyond that. And so if you're looking to keep a healthy credit score, the same rules apply, you know, but if you've missed us talking about credit scores recently, head back and check out episode 113. That's when we talk about how to rebuild a rough credit score.
Yeah, let's talk about something else that we saw make the news this week. There are some new guidelines for 2021 retirement contributions. The IRS just released those guidelines, and one of the few accounts that had increased limits were for the self-employed. The amount that you can put into a SEP IRA or a solo 401k will be going up from $57,000 a year to $58,000 a year.
Boost!
Matt, I know that's big news for you, right?
Yeah, just a disclaimer out there, I've never saved that much money in a single year.
Really come quite that close, yeah.
No, yeah.
But for the super intense saver out there, it's good news. And then this past Wednesday, we talked about whether you should be an entrepreneur or work a traditional 9-to-5. Which one is the best way to go? Obviously, that's a nuanced conversation too. Well, at least the IRS is trying to make the self-employed route a little more attractive. So yeah, it's one of those things that happens about this time every year. We start to see small changes in the amounts that you can put away in certain retirement accounts.
Yeah, that's much higher than what most folks can put into an employer-sponsored 401k, which remains the same for 2021 at $19,500, as well as traditional and Roth IRAs, which are going to stay the same at $6,000. So there's no changes there for the majority of folks who have more traditional retirement accounts. Although the upside for those Roth IRA and IRA savers out there is that you can just set aside $500 a month. I still love how easy that is to remember, and I like those nice even numbers.
I agree. That was the biggest change for me when it went from 5,500 to 6,000. I was like, it's not that I can save an extra 500. It's just that it makes it easier.
Single month. Yeah. Well, especially for someone like me who has to intentionally, proactively go in there and set that money aside myself. And so to know that, like, all right, every single month we're shooting for $500 a month. I love it. Additionally, there are some minor income tax bracket increases that the IRS released. And the standard deduction actually goes up ever so slightly next year as well. It's hardly worth noting. It's kind of essentially just kind of going up with inflation, but it's something that we want to make sure people are aware of.
Yeah, whether you have someone that helps you with your taxes or you're using a software, all that kind of stuff is essentially going to be automatically put in there. But it's, interesting to note. All right, Matt, let's talk about something else that we saw this week. Bank of America has a pretty good small dollar loan program called Balance Assist that they're going to start rolling out at the beginning of 2021. Basically, the way it works is that customers who've had a checking account with Bank of America for over a year, well, they can apply to receive a loan between $100 and $500 at a flat fee of $5 per loan. And effectively, when you run the numbers, this is somewhere between a 6 and 30% rate of interest, depending on how much you borrow, which isn't great. But what's cool is that Bank of America says they won't charge overdraft fees for Balance Assist payments if you don't have enough money available when the payment is due. And there are no late fees for missed payments. So while debt is not ideal in almost any scenario, this is actually a form of debt which isn't terribly harmful. And it's cool to see a big bank actually doing something decent for their customers.
Yeah, that's true, man. Americans living paycheck to paycheck, like that's been a problem for quite a while. It's not a recent phenomena. But we have seen more and more modern attempts to help people handle some of these different unexpected expenses that they have occur in life. Many of these attempts are far better than going to grab a payday loan, many of which have interest rates that are effectively in the 300% range, which is insane. But there's different apps out there as well who are kind of joining in. Chime is an online bank that offers you access to your paycheck a couple of days early without any fees. So that's really cool. And the app Earnin will offer you the modern equivalent of a payday loan for free. But they do solicit these quote-unquote tips. And if you tip at the suggested level, then you'll be paying quite a bit of money to have access to that cash now. Again, not the most ideal situation, but I am encouraged to see some of these bigger banks, some new technology kind of entering the fray that are making those who don't have money set aside to help them kind of get through some of these rough patches in their life without completely hammering them with ridiculous amounts of interest.
Yeah, ultimately, you and I, we would suggest building a buffer instead, right?
Yeah.
Instead of relying on these services.
Yeah, so there's a better option, right?
Completely, yeah. The better option is having more in your savings. And for your mental sanity and for your physical health, that's important. There's just no substitute to a good old-fashioned emergency fund to having more money in your savings account. And so start working towards a savings account that has at least $2,467 in it. Matt, I don't know if we've mentioned that
number in a while. It's been a minute, but we love that number.
Yeah, it's a great number because researchers and economists economists say that that is the magic number that will help a huge majority of Americans to handle most of those unexpected expenses that could pop up, so that you don't even need to consider tapping a small dollar loan like Bank of America is offering, and you don't need to look towards the riskier products too, that, you know, like when it comes to payday loans, there have been so many horror stories written about what happens to people as they take out a loan and then they have to take out another loan to pay off the first loan, and their whole financial life gets upended because of it. So yeah, we definitely want our listeners to avoid awful products like that.
Yeah, I think maybe one way you could even think about it is think about the interest you would pay on some of those loans as like emergency fund insurance. And instead of you taking out an emergency fund insurance policy, which doesn't exist, by the way, I'm making this up, you're going to self-insure. And you self-insure by having that money set aside in your bank account where it's earning interest for you that you have, you know, ready to tap at any point. That is totally the better option. So Joel, that's going to be it for this episode. I want to tell folks to get out there and vote. So this is the Friday before election day next week. If you've got a mail-in ballot, it's probably too late to actually mail it in. So, you know, that's something you probably want to do in person. But yeah, make sure your voice is heard and make sure that you're participating in our democratic process in the system of government that we have.
I voted this morning at State Farm Arena.
I see your basketball sticker there.
Yeah, that's cute, right?
That's one downside of voting by mail, which is what Kate and I did. We didn't get no stinking sticker. I was so bummed.
Yeah, that is a bummer. The sticker's pretty cool.
So again, that's going to be it. Listeners can find our show notes up on our website at howtomoney.com.
All right, so have a great weekend. Happy Halloween. And don't forget to be conscientious with your leaf blowing this weekend. All right, Matt, until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.